Welcome. You are listening to the Better Together podcast with Callie and Rosario Picardo. We take on topics involving marriage, ministry, parenting, communication, relationships, and other subjects that our listeners want to hear more about.
And the question is saving biblical? I had a friend challenge me on that a number of years ago. He said, saving's not biblical. If we were really good Christians, we would just give it all away. I mean, Jesus didn't save. He told the rich young ruler to go off and sell all his possessions and give it to the poor. Should we really be saving? And it got me wrestling, is this a biblical principle or a worldly principle that we've kind of plugged in some scriptures to say, no, this, you know, here's how we make this Christian, but have we really just said, hey, here's a worldly principle we want to justify?
Yeah, and just to give you a background, money is one of the most divisive topics in relationships and businesses and, you know, marriages. You know, that's one of the leading causes of divorce. And so what do you do around this thing called savings? Why don't you, Callie, share with us why you're passionate about this topic?
Yeah, I growing up thought I wanted to be a math teacher, but then realized I didn't like classroom management. So I ended up going the finance route, which honestly, thinking back on it, isn't that surprising because it seems like all of my family are in finance of some form or another. You know, one of my grandfathers was a financial advisor. My dad's a financial advisor. My brother is now a financial advisor. I've got two aunts, an uncle, and soon-to-be cousin, all financial advisors. And growing up, when I went to the other grandfather's house, he wouldn't let me watch the Disney Channel until we found his stocks on what I always referred to as the stock channel, where all the stock prices go across the bottom, because he wanted to calculate how much he gained or lost that day. I mean, it's just, I've grown up around finances and budgeting, and so it's an important topic to me, but I also started learning as I was getting older, a lot of people had questions around it, how to save, how to invest, how to honor God with their finances. So that's why we wanted to dig a little more into it, especially this topic of saving today.
Yeah, and it, you know, whenever we do premarital counseling, I bring Callie into this part, or I join her, or vice versa, and we ask people on how their parents or who raised them viewed money, because your view of money shapes your practice of money, and what you've seen modeled growing up influences a lot of your perception on how you handle money today. And so savings is just a part of it, but a foundational truth for all of it that we hold out there is that it all belongs to God. And money is just simply a tool in God's toolbox. It's a resource.
And so we do see some examples of biblical saving in scripture. I mean, we see King David taking up offerings to be able to save up to build the temple. We also see Joseph preparing for the 7 years of famine during the 7 years of plenty, setting aside some of the crops so that they would be able to make it through times of famine. We see saving throughout the Bible, but really where the difference comes is when saving turns to hoarding. Because just as much as we can save in a way that honors God, we can also hoard in a way that keeps us from God. And so much of it is about the posture of your heart. If you were to try to answer the question, which makes you more anxious, if I were to tell you that God doesn't exist or that there's no money in your bank account, which would set you running around trying to figure things out?
Well, that's a tough question there. That's challenging. But, you know, thinking about that, savings is something that we're told to do, but nobody really has taught us how to do it. And so, you know, you made the case that it is biblical, but I mean, how do we do that?
So the first step is you've got to start spending less than you earn. If you're spending more money than you earn, you're probably going into debt. If you're spending less money than you earn, you've got a cushion that you can do something with. And that's when you can start setting things aside. When I was younger in my career, a senior fellow in the financial world gave me this book called The Richest Man in Babylon. And it's a fun, short little read. It's not a Christian book by any stretch of the imagination. But they unpack this principle of pay yourself first. You know, you might say, well, gosh, everything I get comes to me, like I'm paying myself first. But then if it goes out the door to pay your rent or mortgage, if it goes for food, if it goes for clothes, for the car, for everything, and all of a sudden it's gone, you haven't paid yourself anything. So start by setting something aside. And as Christians, we would say, you know, give first, then set aside a percentage of your income for saving. Intentionally set it aside and start by building an emergency fund so that when those times of famine come, you've got something to sustain you. You know, if an emergency happens, the car breaks down and you need to do a major repair or else you're not going to be able to get to work, having something set aside for that. Or if you lost your job or there was an injury or an illness, something to a cushion to set aside. And a good starting point is, you know, often you've heard people say maybe $1,000, just to set aside $1,000. If that seems a lot to you, start by putting aside maybe $20 a week and letting it build up. And eventually you'll get there. But it takes that intentional, that steady plodding. It's like the tortoise versus the hare. The tortoise wins the race.
Yeah. And, you know, savings is something that may be difficult for some people to do because our tendency is to borrow. It's to get a loan. And loans are not a bad thing, but really it's looking at what are we getting a loan for? Could we be saving in order to meet those needs that aren't immediate? And so for one example is when Callie and I were able to lead a study in finances with some couples from our church. And this the topic of savings came up and really being able to plot and forecast for the future. And this couple was engaged and they wanted to take a nice honeymoon. So they thought they were going to simply put it on their credit card and go into debt for it so they could have the best honeymoon. What did they end up doing because of that study?
They said, well, gosh, do you think maybe we shouldn't go into debt more for this? And they said, this seems to be what lines up with scripture. And we were encouraging them, yeah, maybe there's another way to do this. So they did two things. One, they decided they found a honeymoon that was less expensive. Still an incredible honeymoon. I think they went to Mexico or somewhere fun. I mean, it was still a really nice honeymoon. But they found one that was less expensive. And the second thing they did is they started taking odd jobs and working together to save for that bigger expense. And they did it. And they started out their marriage not taking on more debt, but instead working together, better together, to accomplish a goal together of going on a honeymoon. And then what a celebration that was that they had accomplished that together.
So, you know, when we think about spending and earning, I should say, when we think about those things, it might be hard for us to really conceptualize. So, you know, we save, you said $1,000, and then we've heard it, you know, 3 months of living expenses. Well, let's say, you know, you gave us practical advice or handholds in terms of, you know, spend less than you make. I mean, that's logical, you know, live within your means. What do you do after you know, maybe reach that goal with your savings?
Yeah. So, and I encourage people to set aside that at least that $1,000 emergency fund first before they start working on credit card debt, before they start working on other debt. But then once they get there, you can start working on chipping away at like credit card debt, especially since that's higher interest rate, but then start building it up to a bigger set aside, like 3 months living expenses. Honestly, you'll have to kind of do a analysis of if you are a family of five on one income and that job is not very secure, you might want 6 months saved up to really be intentional, or you're getting ready to make a leap and switch careers and the next career is going to take some build up. Maybe you're starting your own business. You might need to do more savings versus you know, someone that's a two-income family, no kids, you might not need as much, so you might be more on the three-month side. So start building that. But then also start saving for the long term, for one day retiring. And if you've got a company that offers matching for a 401k or 403b, we definitely recommend maxing out that matching as much as you can. That is free money that'll help you. And the sooner you start saving for retirement, the better. I mean, Roz, you're working on your MBA right now. There's something called compound interest, yep. Right? The sooner you start, the more your money can work for you. So have that invested somewhere. You know, I like mutual funds because then you don't have all your eggs in one basket. If you're trying to pick individual stocks, then that can be challenging because then that stock goes up or down. And you got to be careful with some of that day trading because it almost tends toward gambling. So investing for the long term should truly be with a long term mindset. I mean, they say buy low, sell high, you know, buy things at a lower price and sell them high. But our natural tendency is when we see a stock getting really high, we're like, we need to buy it because that's a hot stock right now. And we end up buying it when it's at the height of its price. And when we see a stock going down, we're like, oh my goodness, I got to sell it now. And we end up selling it low. Our nature is to do the opposite. But if we have a long-term perspective, if we do mutual funds where some people might not know what that is, that's a fund that has money managers that pick a variety of stocks. So you buy a share of that mutual fund and you get an investment in a variety of companies. And so if one company doesn't do as well, hopefully the others are doing well and it balances it out. So it diversifies your risk. So you're able to invest and get a return. And then if you keep that long-term mindset and are really focused on just buying good funds, then you can ride out those ups and downs. And again, this is the saving with an eye towards your trust is in God. Your worth is not the value of the money you have set aside. Your worth is not if the stock market goes up and down. Your worth is in God. Your heart is not how much you have saved. It is how much you trust God. So you start saving for retirement. You can start saving toward big purchases. We mentioned the honeymoon example, saving for buying a car. I would challenge you to save for buying a car rather than immediately assuming, hey, I'm going to get a car loan, you know, and maybe finding a car that's less expensive, that is a good condition used car, new to you, but still in great shape. And then you've got your emergency fund. So if it's older, but in still good shape, then if it does have some more repairs, which we know older cars often do have more repairs, you've got money set aside to care for that.
So saving is definitely biblical and it's something that we should strive to do. And it's not always easy, but then you have to balance that, I think, and temperament that with making sure it doesn't become hoarding, which really means you're even though you're wise in saving, you may be a bad steward if you're hoarding the money and you're not what does that mean exactly, hoarding your money? You can still invest it. You can still do all that. But I guess it borderlines on greed that you don't have a finish line. You just try to collect and accumulate as much as you can.
Yeah, I think I'd say a couple things. One, the best antidote I've found to greed and hoarding is giving. We always make giving a priority in our financial plan, and we also are seeking to increase the percentage of our income over time that we do end up giving away. Something that you can do too is there are tools online, or if you have a financial advisor, they've got all the tools to be able to do this. You can figure out what is the financial finish line, how much money. And, you know, it can give you a range, best case and worst case scenario. But how much money do you need to accumulate in order to retire? And that can help in two ways. One, if you're not saving enough, it can show you where you need to get your saving to on an annual basis in order to be able to retire at the point you want to retire. Or it can show you, I'm saving more than I'll ever be able to spend in my lifetime. Maybe I can give some more away. It's freeing. It gets you to this point of, gosh, if I know how much is enough, then I have that freedom above and beyond that to be generous, to give, to share, to bless and impact others.
It's starting a day with those small steps. If you're struggling, maybe to reach that $1,000 threshold or that 3 months living expenses, it's starting practices now that will develop into long lasting, lifelong habits and being able to experience God's blessing and live and be a blessing as well.
And one of the things I'd just say with that is some of those habits is to automate your priorities. So if you say you want to make saving a priority, set it up to happen automatically, straight from your paycheck into those retirement accounts, straight from your, whenever you get a paycheck, have some automatically move over into a savings account that's a separate account that you don't touch on a regular basis, so that it actually can start growing. I mean, make those small changes. Go ahead and make them today. Don't wait. They say the best time to plant a tree is 20 years ago. The second best time is today. So you might say, I should have started doing this saving, investing back when I was in my 20s. And say you're in your 40s or 50s now. And that's okay. You can't change the past, but you can start today. And we can always have a chance today to start honoring God with our finances.
So you can check out some of the what we shared about in our newest book, Money Talks, and it's talking about savings, giving, earning, and all these types of concepts having to do with money, and that's at marketsquare.com, or you can catch it at rosariopicardo.com.
Pre-sale starts June 1st, and the book's being released July 15th.
So again, share this episode, and we pray that it blesses you. And we'll catch you next week. God bless.
We are coming at the end of our time together. The Better Together podcast with Callie and Ross Picardo hopes to help with pertaining issues to remind you that we are all in this together as we grow to love one another. Join us next time. Thank you for listening.